It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus as we continue this study. And please turn your Bibles open to Exodus chapter 25. We're going to begin reading with verse 23. Exodus 25, verse 23. And so please that you open your Bibles and be able to follow along and read and study along today. As you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and to follow along in the study today. Exodus chapter 25, we begin reading with verse 23. And thou shalt also make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border of an hand breadth round about, and thou shalt make a golden crown in the border thereof round about, and thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be 4 places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of acacia wood overlaid with them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and spoons thereof, and covers thereof, and bowls thereof, to cover withal of pure gold shalt thou make them. And thou shalt set up the table showbread before me always. And so as we end now, I think we're just going to stop with verse 30. We'll begin with the lampstand if we get that far today. But let's just look at one item at a time. And so please, let's begin now with prayer before we begin the study. Father, we thank you for your precious word that we were able to read today. And as we look at this table of showbread, it is the very thing that we're doing today. We are feeding upon your word. And I hope that all will be able to recognize and to see this today. Begin very quickly to grow. Maybe, dear Father, today they'll need to come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Maybe they're not even saved, but they need to be born again. So please, today, that they hear the Word of God and believe you in their heart. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart as your precious word tells us. So please, today, that all will enjoy your word, whether it be coming for the first time, coming for salvation, or coming for the feeding of your word. So please, help and direct me today to teach your word properly and very clearly, that all will understand. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've looked at this building, this tent, this tabernacle. We're going to continue to do some reviewing each time because this is too great of point to not cover often so that we understand. And we're going to be going back into the book of Hebrews today a couple of different times because it shows us of the importance of this book of Exodus and Hebrews. If you study the book of Leviticus and the book of Hebrews together, one being in the old, the other being in the new, you will find that it'll give you great understanding. A lot of people, again, today do not want to deal with the Old Testament at all. They just seem to stay in the New Testament, thinking that that's the time and the age that we are in. Well, you're missing a great blessing. You're missing a great opportunity to learn, to understand, and to know God's Word. And so I hope that through these studies that you have been drawn into the Old Testament to enjoy those and to see how important that they are. We have in this building seven articles, seven pieces of furniture. Two of them are in the outer courtyard, as we've talked about. Three of them are in the first room, the holy place, and two in the Holy of Holies. We have the altar, the brazen altar, in the first area in the courtyard. That is become in Solomon's temple and in Zerubbabel's temple and in Herod's temple. That has become the court of the Gentiles. And so as when the temples were finally constructed there, Solomon's first, of course, and then we come with Ezra's or Zerubbabel's, and then next would be Herod's. And we find that the temple, the Herod's temple, was the one that the Lord Jesus himself entered into. I'll kind of give you a little time schedule there if you're not familiar with those. It's a wonderful study to look through the minor prophets. Don't miss the study of Ezra, Haggai, Nehemiah, Esther, wonderful books to study concerning that time of the rebuilding of the Zerubbabel's temple. Solomon's temple, of course, was built immediately following the death of David, and Solomon was the second, the third king of Israel, and he was the one that was able to carry out that responsibility and build this temple of Solomon's. Please that you understand that each time the building itself, the importance of it is that it was the place where God was to meet with his people. And I don't want you to miss that, whether it's this tabernacle, this tent, whether it's Solomon's temple, Zerubbabel's temple, Herod's temple. Now, when we look at the different ones, each time the glory of God was within that temple, the tabernacle, Solomon's temple, Zerubbabel's temple, and Herod's temple was not indwelt with the Shekinah glory cloud as the other two, three, counting the tabernacle. But Herod's temple did see the glory of God when the Lord Jesus himself, God in the flesh, came. So we do have the presence of the glory of God in all four of these residences, places. Here's a tabernacle, a tent. The importance to see the connection between the Lord Jesus Christ and this building, and it's so important that we see that. It does have seven pieces of furniture. And those seven, of course, means perfection all through the Scripture. Again, two in the courtyard of the Gentiles, or the outer courtyard, as we call it. And out there, again, you have the brazen altar, and then the second article is a brazen laver. Then you enter into the holy place. There are three articles there. The table of showbread, the lampstand, and the incense altar. And then on into the Holy of Holies is the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. Now, we have covered in the Scripture here, as we read the first section here, the tabernacle, in verse 10, we looked at the Ark. Now, we're going to be spending a lot more time with the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat later. So don't miss any of these studies, please. Don't miss these studies because it's so important. And if you do miss them, you could contact me. I'll be glad to make a cassette tape or a CD. You're more than welcome to go to the website because it will be on the website, so you can go and study it there. And so it's here for our studying, so please that you do that. But as we will look now at the Ark of the Covenant a little later, we are going to first make these proper steps, because as we come in to the courtyard, the first thing you're going to find the sacrifice and the blood of that sacrifice. That's at the brazen altar. Next, you're going to see the brazen laver. First, you must come by faith to Jesus Christ. You find his precious blood was shed for you at the cross of Calvary. That's what that brazen altar will always stand for and does stand for. Next, with the laver, once we have come by faith to Jesus Christ and trusted in his precious blood, his saving blood, then we come to the laver. And we begin the washing, the cleansing. We can see and we can imagine how that we are to wash our hands before you eat. You know, you wash your hands. You know, my mother, my grandmother, I always remember, you know, when you'd come, always raised on the farm, and when we would come in from playing or in from working, why, the first thing that would be told to us is, please go wash your hands before you sit down and eat at the table. Well, this is the same, very same principle. That was a godly principle that my mother and grandmothers had, was to wash your hands before you eat. Well, we need to wash. First of all, we need to have our sins forgiven, taken from us. And that happens at the altar, the brazen altar. That's where Jesus Christ, when he died upon the cross, saved us. But then we're still walking in this world. We're still working in this world. We're still in this filthy world. And so we need to have some cleaning, some cleansing, some washing. And so we follow through with that process here at the laver. And the Word of God does that for us. That's the reason that it's so important that you don't get hung up on all the entertainment and the activities that go on many times in our church services today, and you would prefer to have a short little sermonette, and you would prefer to listen to all the music and all those things. You know, music is wonderful. Music is necessary, the right kind of music. We know that Solomon, David, loved music. And so we have many times through the Scripture, but today I'm afraid that the church has become nothing more than a nightclub. It's a time of entertainment. You know, we even go to a Saturday night service now. Many of them have. We have not, but many go to a Saturday night service for convenience. And you call it a relaxed service, many folks do, more of a contemporary service, so you can come as you are and listen to the more contemporary music, and then get a little sermonette, and you go home, and you've done your duty as a Christian. That is a lie. My friend, you need to be washed by the Word, and that comes after salvation. So first you must be born again, and then you come to the laver, and now we're going to be washed by the Word. And that's what happens when you get down into the Word of God. And that doesn't come as a group. That comes, you know, the preacher's going to preach the Word of God, and that Word should cleanse you. But you should be clean before you come. You should be studying your Word every day and allow the Word of God to cleanse your heart, and it will. And you need to do that, you must do that, before you go in to the holy place, go in to meet with God, go in to fellowship over His Word. You can do none of that until you're clean. You come in there with dirty hands, you're going to be turned away from the table of showbread, from any nourishment. The cleaning comes first, the nourishment comes next. And so it's a principle that you were raised with, or I hope you were anyway, I sure was. I'd sit down at the table, I'd get in a hurry, I'd come running into the house, and I'd smell that good food, and oh, you know, we were raised on the mashed potatoes and gravy, and you'd have, depending on what time of the year, to what vegetable was coming out of the garden, or maybe it was sweet corn time, and you'd always have meat. You'd have roast, or you'd have pork chops, or you'd have meatloaf. You'd had some delicious food, and you'd come in and the good vegetables, and you'd sit down at the table, and sometimes you'd just come rushing in because it just smelled so good. You didn't, you know, maybe it was that homemade pie or the homemade rolls or whatever it was that just caught your the nose, and boy, you just come running in, you sat right down, and the first thing that mom or grandma would ask, you washed your hands? And if you said yes, you best be able to prove that. And if you said no, you just as well be getting up, heading for the wash basin to wash your hands, because it's not going to happen. There's not going to be any food put before you, or you're not going to be allowed to eat it until you have washed up, washed your hands, washed your face. You know, you may be a mess from out playing or working, whichever the case might have been. And so we learned that. And, you know, then when you got older and we had children, why, the first thing that you told your children, you know, they'd sit up to the table, did you wash your hands? Well, it's pretty evident that they didn't, and so they would slide their chair back and head for the bathroom and wash your hands, and then here we'd be able to sit down and eat and enjoy the delicious food. It's exactly the same way with the Word of God. You come first to salvation, and that's at the altar out front. That's the first place. You can't come. You can't have this washing that we're talking about. You can't come and enjoy the feeding of this bread that's on the table of showbread. You can't enjoy any of that until you pass by this altar, this brazen altar, because that's where the sacrifice was offered. That's where our salvation comes, and so it must come first. But then the very next item, the very next piece of furniture is this laver, the washing. We must have this washing. Now, all these things we're going to talk about continually, and we'll get through areas of this study. And this Ark of the Covenant that's at the 10th verse here in this 25th chapter, you'll find that it is way on the other end. And there's many things that have to be done before you can ever come. You know, we say today, you know, we have the opportunity to come right into the presence of God. Yes, we do. But it must come with a prepared heart if you're going to expect to get there. It's available to you as a born-again believer. You must be born again. You must have the washing. Now, the washing is the daily sins. It's the filth of the world that we hear and we see and we walk in. That's the reason we have to be in the Word of God every day for this washing. And then once the washing is finished, the cleansing is finished, then we get to this into the holy place, and we're able to get into this table of showbread. You know, this tabernacle, this holy place, is called in Numbers a tabernacle of witness, in Revelation the tabernacle of testimony, and in Exodus it is called the tabernacle of the congregation. And so this tabernacle, this tent, this place that has the courtyard and the tabernacle proper, has these seven items of furniture. And we need to make the connection, and we're going to take just a few minutes here before we get into this table of showbread. I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to go back to Hebrews with me, because we've got to make the proper connection. I can't explain enough, tell you enough times, the need for us to connect the Old and the New Testament so that we can really understand the Word of God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 2, and we're going to even look at the verse 1 here. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle made, that's what we're talking about, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which of the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the gold pots that had manna and Aaron's rod budded, and the tablets of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now I want you to see, as I just read through the fifth verse now of this ninth chapter of Hebrews, that it is referred to, and I believe that Paul has recorded this in Hebrews under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But how much, if you had no study, have no understanding of the Old Testament, and you would read these verses of Scripture here, not having any background at all in this book of Exodus that we're in right now, and the book of Leviticus, and as we continue to study through the Scripture, if you had none of that background, what would you know? What would you understand about the things that we just read concerning the tabernacle? What's a tabernacle? You would have no idea. And as we look at this, it's so important that you see the connection, because now let's move on to the 11th verse of this same chapter, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once unto the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? Now, many people deny the blood of Jesus Christ. They see no importance in the blood of Christ. If you don't see the importance of the blood of Christ, salvation is not yours. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. I can't make it any clearer than that. You cannot be saved. You cannot be born again unless you believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, its strength, its importance, its saving power to you. And this very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the picture that we have of this tabernacle is a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ himself. The saving power that we have at the entrance when we come to the altar, the brazen altar, the cleansing power, the sanctifying power that we have when we come to the brazen laver. Then we come to the table of showbread, and we enjoy the feeding of the Word of God, the fellowship that's there. We have the advantage and the necessity of the light of the lampstand. We cannot see, the be fed to see the Word of God and the truths in it without this lampstand being the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit represented by the oil that's there. The incense altar, we haven't even talked about, comes next. It's right before the veil. And as we look at that incense altar, it's a prayer altar. So you see, salvation, cleansing, feeding, the light. Then we come and be upon our knees in prayer. Then and only then is the door open to come into the Holy of Holies, to be before the Lord Jesus Christ and be and talk and fellowship with God the Father. It must come. But this blood that's talked here in Hebrews, I need to explain very quickly. On the Day of Atonement, there's one day a year, that the high priest would go all the way from the altar, from before the camp, all the way to the Holy of Holies. And he would enter into the Holy of Holies only once a year, but he would never enter in there without having his sins confessed and without him carrying the blood. There would always be a sacrifice made, and it was two goats. One would be killed, one would be kept alive, and that blood would be taken in and sprinkled upon the mercy seat. Always with the blood. And we have right here, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. This tabernacle we're looking at is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it does point to Jesus, and we're going to spend so much time talking about Jesus when we look at this. And you need to see that the importance, and for this cause he is our mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance that comes by the purging of the blood. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Oh, I don't want you to miss that, this tabernacle that we're looking at here. There is so much. The tabernacle is a tent of meeting. The purpose of this tabernacle is a place where men meet God and God meets man. The meeting place is the only place for the nation of Israel to come before God. There was no other place. They had to come. Three times a year they were told, three different feasts, festivals, that they were to come to Jerusalem throughout the year to come before God. What a wonderful place here where man could approach God, where God would meet with man. And it's on the basis of the blood sacrifice. Everything is upon that blood sacrifice. If you're trying to come to Christ any other way, you're trying to avoid the cross of Calvary, and you don't think that that cross is important, you don't think that this personal relationship we keep talking about, inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart, if that is not an important decision, then you have missed salvation, because everything is on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ. And here we have the picture. There was no other place for Israel except the place of sacrifice, the place of the shedding of blood in this tabernacle and on into the temple as those buildings come through the ages. What a picture of the precious Lord we have. He is the perfect tabernacle. In him, man can approach God the Father. And in him and him alone will God meet with us, with man. And again, it's all on the basis of the blood. All on the basis of the blood. As we look back in the verses in Hebrews, once again, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, and then really on through 9. Now when these were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without the blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way unto the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was the figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that he did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. We need to see that you know it must be through the blood, not without the blood. Never can we go before our God without the blood. People have taken for years and says that means his death. Yes, his death was necessary. He needed to die, but it was his precious blood. Please don't miss that. And we're going to be looking at that often. And if you have missed that or never been taught that, then it's a sad day that that your preacher has not preached that to you, that the teachers through the Sunday school years have not taught that to you, that your preacher has not through Bible study showed you the Word of God and the truths in the Word, because the blood is so important and we cannot miss that. You see, this tabernacle is a figure. It's a type. It's a shadow of the things to come. And please, the greater that's coming, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have read again these verses of Scripture from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 2, all the way down through verse 14. And I want you to go back and I want you to see those and look at those Scripture verses. And I'm sorry we didn't get any further into this table of showbread, but I wanted to give you a little greater introduction into this tabernacle, the building, and what it stands for. Now, please, my dear friend, we'll begin here with the 23rd verse of chapter 25 next time. The question always comes, what are you going to do about Jesus?